Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Sister Lois will read you the scripture this morning. It's Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23.
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some of hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading.
Our Father, thank you for your word, and we ask you simply now that you would open up our ears that we may hear and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we read the parable itself. The sower went forth to sow. Jesus told the parable and a few other ones as well to the crowd, and then he sent them away. And here in these verses, the Lord gives us the meaning of his parable. And if you'll recall, I said not everyone who was there was privy to the meaning. It was the disciples who came afterward and asked him, what does it mean? They're the ones who are given this insight. And so we see that the parable is, if you like, an extended proverb or a comparison about the effectiveness or the failure of the act of gospel preaching. Christ preached to that generation. In the future, his apostles would go also and preach in the world. Down to our day, the same activity happens again and again as preachers preach. And of course, that doesn't just mean men standing in pulpits. It means evangelists. It means radio ministries, missionaries, and so on. Okay, if the kingdom of God is going to grow and spread, obviously a major part of the work is propagation. Okay, the message has to be sown. It has to be transmitted. So verse 19 talks about the word, okay, the word of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent from the heart and believe the good news. Turn from sin, trust in Christ as Savior. His kingdom will never end, okay? It's the word of the kingdom, the message, and it involves people speaking. The question at hand is, why does the preaching of the word of the kingdom fail? Okay, and Jesus tells us about three kinds of failure and one kind of success. Okay, even Jesus in his own ministry, he's not having unmixed success, is he? Nor will he. It's many are called, few are chosen. Many start out on the journey, but some of them fall by the wayside. Some of them run out of gas. Some of them turn back. Okay, there's opposition, there's rejection, there's disillusionment. And there are quitters. Why does the preaching of the Word of God fail? Okay, let's consider first what constitutes failure. What is failure? Well, what is the sower's objective in scattering seed in the first place? Obviously, it's to have a yield. It's to get a harvest. Okay, to, as we say, bring forth fruit. Jesus says in the book of John to his apostles, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Okay, and so any seed that does not result in a yield of fruit is wasted. Okay, it's a failure. Things may happen after the seed germinates, you know, you might get signs of life and you might have some show of progress to one extent or another. But unless there's fruit, it was for nothing. Okay, so you might be doing better than somebody else, but still fall short. So here we are, Christians, today, 2018. We want to bear fruit that will last for the Lord. I think it's best to be specific, okay? What is the fruit? Okay, let's not just talk in vague terms about bear fruit. Otherwise, you'll be stuck with just the simile, you know, an orange tree with oranges on it, or, you know, a wheat field bearing wheat. Okay, whatever. Those are just metaphors. What's the real thing? What's the fruit? Because that's what the Lord says, right? Fruit is the proof of real salvation. You'll know them by their fruits. Okay, so what are they? What practical, recognizable things that when we get to the end of our life, what would we like to present the Lord with? Okay, we know that he's inspecting our lives. We know that he's going to be looking for fruit. So what are the things he's looking for? Well, number one, holiness. Okay, putting away sin. Romans chapter 6 says, whereas you used to be slaves of sin, and you used your body for lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, what fruit did you have then? The end result of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, you have become servants of God instead, and you have your fruit to holiness. And in the end, everlasting life. Okay, so that's number one, holiness, separation from sin. That's fruit. Number two, Christ-likeness in character. Okay, when the Spirit of Christ abides in a person's heart, what's the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, these are recognizable, identifiable things, observable things. Number three, soul winning. Leading others to Christ, right? Saving people from darkness. Four, worship and thanksgiving and praise to God the Father and to his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, verbally, from the heart. Okay, the scripture talks about the fruit of lips that give honor to his name. Okay, fruit of our lips that profess the name of Jesus. And five, good works. Okay, John says, let's not love in words only, but in actions and in truth. Okay, real live deeds, like sharing what we have, like caring for people in need, like visiting the sick, comforting the lonely and the downcast, turning a wandering brother from the error of his will. Okay, these are fruit that will last. Okay, basically we're saying, how is your life going to be measured? What will matter in the end when you stand before the judge? It's whether or not you bear these kinds of fruit. Okay, so three hindrances or three kinds of failure, these are the things that are going to prevent us from being successful and joyful on the day of judgment, right? The Lord is sort of walking us through the process of bringing forth fruit. How does it come about? So let's have a look. Well, number one, the seed has got to go into the ground. Well, let's talk about the seed first for a second. The seed is the Word of God, as you see. It's very clever how the Word of God is like a seed, because it looks like nothing special on the outside. Okay, it's just ordinary words, right? I mean, the Word of God isn't a magic spell, right? It's not some sort of weird language. It's just regular language, but it has life within it. Okay, a seed, you know, it's very unimpressive looking. It's just a grain. Doesn't look like it can do anything, but it has the life principle within it. Okay, you know how God made seeds. There's the DNA and all of the things inside. You know, it's coded and programmed with lots of information, so that when you put it in the soil and you water it and the sun shines, okay, it does its thing, right? The DNA and the cell machinery does what they're programmed to do, and that produces the shoot, produces the stalk, produces the fruit. Okay, it has that ability in itself, provided that you give it the right conditions. Okay, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. Okay, we just have a plain-looking book, right? Looks like any other book. It's got a cover, it's got pages, it's got ink. Doesn't look that impressive. Who wants to read a book? Who wants to listen and stand and sit around and listen to a man give a speech? Okay, it has life within itself. The Word of God has the ability to make a change, to yield fruit in a person, in any person. Amen. It has the ability, provided the right conditions are there. Okay, so there's, you know, we see four categories in the parable. So I have to say, you, each one of you individually, is going to be covered by one of these four categories at some point today. Okay, there's no other real scenario besides these four. You know, sometimes you might hear a sermon where you might be able to wiggle out of, you know, so maybe this sermon isn't really for me. You know, I know Betty ought to hear this one, or Tommy should have been here today. Okay, look, this one's for you. There's some place, sometime today in one of these four categories. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about you. It just means we all have to be a little bit self-aware. Okay, we have to do a little introspection. And if the shoe fits, wear it. Okay, and I speak to myself too. All right, so condition number one, the seed has got to go into the soil. Okay, this is the first cause for failure. Okay, when the seed doesn't even go into the soil, it just kind of lies around on the ground, never really has a chance to get activated, it's going to result in failure on the day of judgment. Okay, what does a man's life look like when the seed doesn't even get into the ground? Now, I want you to notice, we're not just talking about people like atheists, okay, people who don't even encounter the Word of God. Look what he says, see verse 19. All of these four are hearers of the Word. Okay, look, when anyone hears the Word of the kingdom and does not, okay, this is not about people who don't go to church. Every one of these four cases is within reach of the sound of the Word of the Lord. Okay, so again, everybody here at some point today, some people sit and the Word of the Lord just essentially bounces off them, okay? Just, you throw seed off the sidewalk, you know, it just kind of goes boink and lays there until a bird or something comes and eats it, okay? People are here, the Word has no effect on some of them because of the condition of their heart, the hardness of their heart. Now, that could be you. I always feel like I need to say it gently but firmly. I've said it before, but it continues to go on. You know, I wonder when I see some of you that don't open your hymnal and sing. I don't get that, okay? You don't have your Bibles. You don't even give the Word of God a chance to penetrate. You don't even give it a chance. And I just don't understand what it is that you're doing when you stare at the floor or gaze off into space or doodle in your bulletin. Okay, believe me, I've done this, all right? You know, you're bored and you just color in the O's in your bulletin. It's some young and some old, okay? You're not absorbing the seed. The fault is yours. The fault is yours. You're not opening up yourself a little furrow to receive the life-giving seed, okay? In that seed is the very same power, okay? The life-giving Word of God that spoke the universe into existence, okay? That Word of God that has the power to raise the dead, that same powerful potential bounces around this room, bounces off you, and as soon as you're out the door, it's forgotten, if it even lasts that long, okay? Look, Jesus Christ said just a few verses ago, he who has ears, let him hear, okay? If you have a pair of ears and you're in this room and the Word of God makes no impression on you, it is not God's fault. It's your fault. And if the word of God makes no impression on you, you're going to fail on the day of judgment. Okay, continue in that condition, you're going to fail. Even now the Lord is looking for fruit, and I want to know, what fruit is there? Okay, the fruit of lips that profess his name? I mean, literally, your mouth is closed. Okay, people who don't sing, literally, there is no praise toward God coming out of your mouth. Okay, this is a worship service. Have we not gathered here to serve the Lord, the King of Heaven, with our worship? Okay, we're here to serve him, not to serve each other, not to, okay, this hour is service to God. It is not put together to give people a morning's diversion. Okay, we shouldn't be coming here because we expect to enjoy something. We're coming here to place ourselves before the Lord and serve him. And so this is why we have a call to worship. Okay, you're being called from the moment we're called to worship until the moment we're dismissed. It's meant to be participated in by all, okay, old and young, and that includes the hymns. Okay, hymns are not intermission; they're not a timeout. It's not a commercial break. It is part of the Word of God. Okay, got to give the Word of God a chance to germinate. Okay, and there's a word for that. It's called formalism, right? Keeping up just the forms. Coming to church, yes. But you come in cold, you go out cold, you might stand up when everybody else stands up, you might even look at the words of the text, you might sit still during the message and be polite, but your heart never softens to let God's word in. Okay, you gotta let it in. Take heed how you hear. That's what the Lord says. Secondly, the seed has gotta have some, if you look 20 and 21, the seed has gotta have some depth of soil. Some depth of soil in order to have success. So this is talking about the danger of having a shallow faith. Okay, a shallow faith. As you can see here, where is it, 20? The person hears the word and receives it with joy. Okay, so there's a form of Christianity that is energetic but shallow. Energetic but shallow. And generally, people who go in for the prosperity gospel kind of fit this category, okay? And I won't limit it to that, but this is your Joel Osteen audience and things like, you know, a lot of what you see on TBN, most of your Pentecostal churches where it is enthusiastic, yes, energetic, emotional, very positive, but not very deep. Okay, and I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to pick on Pentecostals because there are lots of churches where people are not being admonished to count the cost. Okay, the preacher doesn't often talk about the burdens that you have to bear when you walk with Christ. Okay, that doesn't fill seats. Or people come looking for religion when they have some big major problem in their life and they hear and find out Jesus is the answer. He's a miracle worker. He's a problem solver. He's the key to a smooth life, and wow, this is awesome. Okay, I love being with Jesus. People are told, you know, you call on the Lord Jesus, you will be, you know, practically immune to the other people's troubles. You know, the Lord will abundantly fill your house. He'll cure your maladies. He'll give you riches and comforts. Just name it and claim it. Okay, just look at me. I've got my own personal jet. Right, worked for me. Okay, that kind of message appeals to a certain sort of person, okay? A person who wants many benefits without any of the trade-offs. And the Lord tells us it's shallow, okay? It's shallow to say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, all right, I suppose he does, but not the one that they're selling you, okay? A wonderful plan for your life really means putting you through your paces, okay? It's an uphill climb. It's a marathon race, and it's peppered with obstacles and tribulations and challenges, self-sacrifice and hardship and dangers and persecution. Things, though, that will make you strong and steadfast in the end. Okay, that's the wonderful plan. Okay, it means being a foreigner on this planet and not being at home here. Okay, it means laying up treasures in heaven and turning your back on treasures on earth. And once again, some young, some old. Okay? It's very important, I think, especially with the young, that we develop the depth of their faith. Okay? That we don't candy coat the message of Jesus. Okay, and maybe this applies to our Sunday school lessons. Okay, Jesus isn't a cartoon. Okay, I know in the take-home papers he is, but I mean in real life he's not. Okay, it's important that we talk about things like sin, about death, about repentance, about the blood of the cross, about our enemy the devil, the need for perseverance, and this especially about the reason that bad things happen to good people. Okay? Yes, if he's, you know, if it's a child, we talk to them in a child's terms, but children and young Christians need to be shaped in these things, okay? The soil needs to be deep. We can't hide these kinds of matters from young people. We can't just avoid talking about them. We're afraid we're going to scare the children. Okay, look, trials are going to come whether you're ready for them or not, okay? In this world, you will have trouble. And if all children hear about, okay, and I don't just mean children, but, you know, if all Christians ever hear about is temporal positive blessings of belonging to the Lord and not the difficulties, then when they get out in the real world and some trial overwhelms them, that's when you get the question, where is God? Why did he let this happen? Okay, if the church doesn't have the answer to, if the adults don't have the answer to that question, why would God let this happen? And then the young ones have not been rooted, then they will fall away. Okay? The church has to have this answer ready. This is the real Christian life, okay? God has never made us exempt from going through these sorts of things. It's a life of tribulations and challenges and persecutions and weaknesses. But when we're weak, God is strong. So, I mean, before we go on, it's worth me asking you, do you know? Do you personally know, are you aware of why troubles come? Could you answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Do you know the purpose that they serve? Okay, what is the end result of them? Why does a good God permit these things into your life? Okay, do you know that there is a good reason that he doesn't shelter you from them all? That he doesn't stop them? That are you able to handle these things? A tragedy comes into your life or a major loss or a disappointment, can you answer why? Can you say, I know why, you know, this is all right. I can take this from the hand of the Lord. I can accept this. I can be of good cheer even though this miserable thing. Or, okay, if you can do that, you're well rooted. Or if it's, God has let something terrible befall me, so I'm gonna give up on him. Look, many people turn back and fall away because something came into their life that was too hard, and they decided God must not be good then, or maybe there must not be one. He has let this happen to me, so he must not love me, and therefore I don't need to love him back. Okay, you're going to wither away, you're going to fall away, and you're going to fail on the day of judgment. Okay? If you don't know why, if you can't answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people, then learn why. Learn, okay, we can talk about that. My recommendation to get you started is read 1 Peter. Become very well familiar with 1, you know, read it 5-10 times. Get a book on 1 Peter. You can get started there. I'll remind you again, salvation is not just a gate that you go through, okay? It's not a turnstile where on day one, you're on the outside, and on day two, you're on the inside, and that's all there is. Congratulations, heaven is yours no matter what. The Bible's testimony is that you must endure to the end. Bear your cross, take up your burden. And this scripture here, verses 20 and 21, makes it plain that if your faith is shallow and emotions driven, it's not going to suffice. Okay? Be steadfast, immovable, put down strong roots. All right, thirdly, the soil has to be free of weeds. Okay, it has to be free of competition against your target crop. Okay, heavy competition means that the seed isn't going to get the nourishment that it needs to produce the fruit. Okay, you get a plant. Sure you do. You get a sprout. You get a stalk. What can you do with a stalk? Nothing. You got farther than the last guy. That doesn't mean you made it all the way till the end. Okay, so here we have a person who understands the gospel. Okay, again, a hearer. So we probably have at least a semi-regular church attender, if not a weekly attender. Nevertheless, they still don't produce fruit. Okay, why not? Because a crowded life is a choked life. Okay, what does the passage say? What interferes? Okay, what are the thorns and the weeds? 22, the cares of this life and the love of money. Okay, the deceitfulness of wealth. This is about ambitions, about career. It's about leisure. It's about possessions and comforts. It's about beautifying and maintaining your house and your property. All right, it's about over-concern with this life. It can be about family and, you know, family activities. I mean, believe me, we know all about what it's like to be running here and there for family activities, okay? We have choices to make in life. You have big ones, you have small ones. People generally, though, make their decisions based on, not on eternity, and on the final reckoning, but what's best in the short term, okay? How can we enjoy ourselves the most today? How can I get the most work done this week? Even how can I best plan for my retirement? Okay, yes, you're thinking more long term, but you're not taking into account the long term. Okay, the cares of this life and the matters of wealth consume so much of our thought life and our time that our discipleship gets short shrift. Okay, it gets crowded out. If only we would give more thought to how are we going to present ourselves at the judgment seat of Christ on the great day. Are we going to be coming to him empty-handed? Okay, you can't fill every hour of your day and every day of your calendar with earthly concerns. Okay, as a practical matter, you cannot fill your Sundays with other activities. Okay, you especially should not schedule activities for immediately after church on Sunday. Okay, things like birthday parties and appointments where you have to be someplace right after church, because you know what happens? It's 2 minutes of 12, you're looking at your watch and you're saying, where do I have to be in a half an hour? And you know what happens is you're not giving the Lord your full attention. Okay, you're in church, you're not giving your own spirit the time it needs to digest the word. Okay, and I guess I will say it again, it's clear to me that some of our people don't give their full attention to the Lord. Not because you're not a believer. Okay, this is different from the first guy. God has a place in your life. Okay, you've given him a slot in your life, but you've shoehorned him in to the allotted spot. Okay, he has a certain priority, but there's competition. Okay, young people, thoughts might be on video games, thoughts might be on homework, thoughts might be on a party they're going to later today, texting with their friends. Adults, you might have your minds on your aches and pains, you have company coming over, something at your job, something at home needs to be fixed. It's the cares of this life, okay? Obviously, life has cares, all right? But you've got to take command and you've got to put them in its proper place so that you don't choke out the word, okay? Take time to be holy. Make time to be holy. Take time for God's people. Give your best to the master. Just an illustration, you're at your job and the boss offers you a new job, a promotion. Okay, this will come into your decision of what to do. Okay, maybe now you work 40 hours a week and you get salary X. The boss says, oh, I really like your work ethic. How about I make you the director or the manager? Okay, well, it's going to be a lot more money, but it's going to be, now you're going to, nights, weekends, you got some travel. The Christian has got to think, not just, boy, it would be nice to have the money. Okay, well, why do you need the money? Okay, it's for the cares of this life, isn't it? Okay, that's what money is for. It's for the cares of this life. This is where Christians, you know, needs to stop and think, how much room is there in my garden, right? There's only so many hours in a week. You only have so much energy. Is it going to be a hindrance to this good seed that's struggling to grow and bud? Am I thinking about fruit that will last, or am I thinking about the things of this world? Okay, the desire, oh, yes, I need more money because we have the cable bill and all my other, those things. The desires of my eyes, the desires of my flesh, the pride of life. I might say something which I don't think I've ever talked about before. This is one of the reasons why Paul recommends to unmarried people the value of staying single. Okay, if a man or a woman has self-control, they don't expressly feel the need to be married and have a family and so on, then, hey, that's a marvelous thing. You can give your full time to working in the Lord's garden. Okay, that's just because family cares are cares. Okay, family is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing from the Lord. That's throughout the Bible, right? Blessed is the man whose, you know, sons are around his table. His wife is a fruitful vine. Wonderful. It's tremendous. But there's also a blessing, and Paul says it's even better to be able to give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord and not have your life divided between two kinds of cares, okay? Because if you have a family, you have to care for your family, okay? You can't neglect the work of your family to go serve the Lord, but you can't neglect the work of the Lord to serve your family. You have to do both. Now, raising good children, that is fruit, okay? That is fruit. It's not like children don't count, okay? Life is about choices, though, and so Christians need to be wise. However you look at it, okay, you just need to take this home. The Christian way of life, okay, the fruitful Christian way of life, is not identical and doesn't have the space in it to be identical to your unsaved neighbor's way of life. Okay, you can't compare your life with somebody else. Okay, they're constantly going on vacation and buying things and, you know, making the house more and more beautiful. Okay, they can choose to spend their time and money on those things. They can do sports on Sundays and run here and there and have appointments every evening. Their income all goes to the cares and the pleasures of this life. They can afford hours of television. If you choose that, there's going to be no time in your life to let that seed grow to maturity. It's just going to choke out the life. The world and everything in it is passing away.
Amen.
What is going to last forever? Only the things that are done for the will of God. Well, I think if I took a poll of you all and I asked, wouldn't you like to present the Lord with good fruit? And hear him say, well done, come share the joy of your Lord, and not be turned away. I think most everybody would say, yes, that is what I want. It doesn't come to everybody. It doesn't come to everybody. The Lord honors those who honor him. Everyone hears the word. That does not imply that everyone who hears the word is fruitful. Some have hearts that don't care. Some have shallow faith. Some have lives that are just too fixed and focused on this temporary present world rather than on fruit that will last. Thankfully, people can change. Okay, if you like, the soil can change. You know, if you give it your attention, a scripture says, break up your fallow ground, doesn't it? Okay. Let my words sink down deep into your ears, Jesus says. I will tell you, you already know it, but I will tell you that you're going to stand before Jesus Christ the Lord and give him an account of your life. Give the seed of the word a place in your heart to take purchase and to sprout. Okay, the word itself is living and active. Let it dwell in you richly, the Bible says, which means don't be shallow. Be sober-minded and alert. Be watchful in prayer. Life with Jesus has difficulties and challenges. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He loves you. Okay? His life was hard. You have an enemy, you're in a battle, but if you hang in there, you'll win. You have to man up, you have to train yourself in godliness and keep the faith. Amen. And keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Yeah. You let the world go, live for Jesus. You just have to know you cannot have everything you want in this life. You cannot have everything that your neighbors have. If you're going to work for Jesus, you have to travel light. Okay? Many are called, few are chosen. What choice are you going to make? Cultivate the soil, cultivate the seed. Okay, it takes effort. Peter says, if you don't want to be unfruitful, you have to be diligent. Faith alone isn't going to get you there. He says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you have those things in abundance, it will keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So shall we pray for each other that we'll be fruitful? Our Lord in heaven, we have heard your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the penetrating words of Jesus, our Savior. He knows just what we need to hear. He knows our hearts. He knows what's in a man. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us in our ignorance, but you have explained these things to us. May we be faithful, Lord, to ponder and digest and then act upon what we have heard. I thank you for a Christian family. I thank you, Lord, for people to love and to be loved by and to help and to rejoice in the knowledge of Jesus Christ with. We pray for our church that you will help us, Lord, to bear much fruit. We know we're going to meet you someday, and we want to meet you in gladness. Bring that day quickly, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.